This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning. So how many of you are enjoying the Winter Olympics? All right, yeah. Thank you for letting us win a gold medal on our own home soil. Appreciate that very much. Thank you very much. Any Canada power here? Oh, you need to do some recruiting in the Great White North. Thank you very much, yes. You don't know where it is. Well, they in the opening ceremonies, did you see the opening ceremonies? They had that great poem, "We Are More." We are more than the people who say Zed, right? We are more than just a bunch of yahoos who live within 90 miles of the U.S. border. We are more. It was great. It was very swelling with pride when we went through those Canadian ceremonies. But what I really want to say is I want to say thank you to you for being here at CIU. Thank you for being in a Bible-saturated, worship-focused, life-developing, God-honoring environment. Because the world needs you. The world needs a massive movement of people like you right now. And I want to tell you why. But first, a little context. Right in the middle of college, after my sophomore year, I went away to Japan. I went on a one-year trip, and I taught English in four Japanese churches in Osaka, Japan. I taught everything from little kids to adults, and it was just part of their outreach program. And during that year, I made a couple of observations about the Japanese culture. I'd like to share a few of those with you. The first one is that the quickest way through a busy train station is going on the side where all the traffic is coming towards you, looking up at the ceiling and running. And it's amazing, the Red Sea just parts. If I would look down and I'd make eye contact with the Japanese, then I would have to move. But if I kept my head up and just ran, you know, it's just like I could get through busy train stations, no problem. All year, only one collision with a student, and he wasn't watching where he was going. I don't know why. But it was great. Second observation is that people are gullible everywhere. On weekends, my friend and I would go to this movie theater in Osaka, and for matinees, they had these very cheap matinees, and they would show old English movies with Japanese subtitles along the bottom. So they'd like Wuthering Heights and A Streetcar Named Desire, all black and whites. And so we'd sit, you know, up near the front, and we quickly caught on that whenever we laughed, the rest of the theater laughed. And we know this because we actually experimented with it. There'd be this very serious point in the movie, and we'd nudge each other and just start laughing like crazy. And these people would start laughing, and then they're reading the subtitles and going, "Why? You know, what am I not understanding here?" A third observation about culture is that the way to your host's heart is through your stomach. Seriously, yeah. I was game on whatever typically I'd teach classes and then the pastor's wife would make me supper. And I was game on whatever she put down there, I'd put in. And so this one particular evening, the pastor's wife comes in and she's beaming. She brings this tray and she puts this big ramen bowl in front of me, you know. And I pick up my chopsticks, I smile at her, you know. And I look down and there's just suction cups, okay? It's tentacles, octopus tentacles. They're raw, little vinaigrette on top. And that's it, okay? And so I'm waiting for her to leave, but she's not. She's just standing there, right? So I, you know, pop these things in. They're sticking to the side of your cheek, you know. And it's like gummy bears without any taste, right? Wow, 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 and then you swallow. But she loved me, okay? She absolutely loved me. Final random fact observation. Heated toilet seats are nice in the winter. Okay, one of the things I miss most about Japan is the heated toilet seats, you know, and they have these control panels, you know, it's like Captain Kirk, you sit down, it's like warp speed, Scott, you know. I won't take it any further than that, but it's just really nice, you know, heated toilet seats are awesome, we should get them here. Okay, but the real surprise was the trains. You can get anywhere on a train in Japan, if you can get on. And rush hour proves to be a little bit of a challenge at that. And you know, I can't explain this. This is one that you need to see. So here's a video, and these are not paid actors. This is real. Morning rush hour in Tokyo. Can you imagine the train driver comes into the station, he goes, "Houston, we have a problem," you know? Can you imagine? Can you imagine this? This is for real. Yeah, this is every day. Downtown Tokyo. If you want to become a JR conductor with the white gloves, I have applications in my briefcase here. Now, the reason why they got to get on that train is they probably have two connections. They probably have two connections later on. And so if you miss your connection, you can be like 20 minutes late for work. So you got to get on that train. And they do. Okay, a couple of fast facts about the train. Number one, if you have an itchy nose, think twice. Because if you manage to get that hand up there to scratch your nose, it's not going back down, okay? You were like this for the rest of the train trip. Fast fact number two, you can experience full body suspension. All of our kids went, we have three boys, by the way, and they're all made in Japan. They got that little sticker right here. But they, our oldest, we sent him to 2 years of Japanese kindergarten. And then we put him on the train, and he went to an MK satellite school, because we were living kind of far away from the MK school. So he's 6 years old, he's getting onto a train, and he's going to school for 30 minutes. So one day I come home from work, and Brian's home, and I'm saying, "Hey, bud, you know, how was your day?" And he says, Dad, I had a no-feet day. Like, did you walk on your hands in school, or, you know, what do you mean? He says, "No, Dad." He says, "The train was so full." He says, "I lifted up one leg, and then I lifted up the other, and I didn't fall down." I'm just waiting for the game show to come out. Can you imagine, you know, a train car packed with people, and you got the judges up here, Randy and Simon and Paula. Well, at least Paula, because she's out of work right now, or what? And you got this train car, and they're saying, "Okay, we have a six-year-old somewhere in there. He's going to lift up his feet, and you have to sing this Beatles song for the next 2 minutes," you know, something like that. Third fast fact about the trains is you need to watch for the signs. A friend of mine and his wife were just there. And this Japanese lady, this host, was taking them downtown in the morning. And they get onto the platform, and he sees, just in certain spots of the platform, these pink signs. And he looks back, and on the wall, there's this pink sign, you know, and he's looking at this pink sign. And so it's he and his wife and this Japanese lady. Train comes up. They get in. It wasn't so crowded. Door closes. He turns around, and he looks, and the train starts pulling away. And then he looks into the train car, and there's 100 pair of eyes on him. Not only is he the only male foreigner, he's the only male on that train car. They have, you know, special train cars during rush hour that are only for women. How to feel foreign, right? You know? So, okay, now work with me on this for a little bit, okay? You've got this train car. Let's just take, for instance, we have one train car sitting in front of us here, and there's 100 people. Let's begin with the U.S. We've got 100 people from the States in this train car, packed. and you ask them, how many of you are followers of Jesus? According to Joshua Project, how many hands do you think would go up? Not Sunday and Christmas, Easter and Christmas followers. I mean, like real followers of Jesus. How many hands do you think would go up? Cross-section of the U.S. According to Joshua Project, 32 hands would go up in the States. Take that train car, get a random sampling of Japanese in there, and ask that same question. How many hands are going to go up? One every two cars. Okay? 0.4% is the current stat on Japan. Many of these people do not have a compelling invitation to follow Jesus. And what are we asking them to do? We're asking them to go against the flow of their society. Go back to this train idea. And this train pulls into Shinjuku Station. It's the largest, it's the busiest train station in the world. As of 2008, they had 3.86 million people going in and out of that train station every day of the year. How many is 3.86 million? That's 161,000 people per hour. That's 2,680 people per minute. Student body at CIU, 1,000? That is 2.5 CIUs going in and out of that train station every minute of every day in the year. And how many of them know Jesus? When you get off a train during rush hour at Shinjuku Station, you make no choices about what exit you're going to go out of. It's like this. You get out of the train and you are carried along. And you're just walking in that one direction. And what are we asking them to do as believers in Jesus? We're asking them to turn and to go against that tide of people that are rushing towards them, to go against the flow. It's a picture for me of what we're asking people around the world to do. In Japan, they have a idiom that says that the nail that sticks up will get hammered down. And this pictures it for me. You're trying to go against the flow. You can't go at that exit. Don't even think about that exit. We're all going out here and you're coming with us. A billboard might help inspire them. A cool song on their eye touch might generate some passion, or maybe a cool ringtone will remind them. But what do they really need? Most of these people need you, or people like you, to come alongside and to persuade them to make that turn and to walk with them as they go against the flow. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. To go, to get alongside, to help people turn and go against the flow. Now, Jesus knew that this was a big ask. And so he didn't pop it all on us at one time. Think with me about those 40 days from when he rose from the grave to when he left and went to heaven. Think about those 40 days. What went on there? Final words. Last instructions. Jesus giving out that most important content of what he wanted his followers to do after he left. And so we have on the eve of his resurrection in John chapter 20, verse 21, we've got Jesus appearing to his disciples and saying, hey, peace. Peace be to you. And just as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And you get this image that just like God sent Jesus, who's the head of the church, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to gift and empower this body, the church, to go and to do, to carry on what Jesus started. Jesus is saying, hey, in the same way that I got sent, I'm sending you. We find the doctor Luke, when he starts his second book, he says, oh, Theophilus, I wrote to you previously about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And now here I'm going to record for you what his followers continued doing, how they were sent just as he was sent. When Jesus opens up and starts talking in Matthew 5 about the kingdom, he talks about this kingdom and how we are so blessed in this kingdom because he comes right to us, to our place of brokenness, to our place of need, to our place of lack. He is right there with us, and he is for us. He is on our side. And he goes on in later on in that chapter, and he declares, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." Those are not statements of judgment like, salt and light, that's what you should be, but we all know that you aren't. No, they're empowering statements that say, right now, right here, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. And this generation needs salt and light. You are God's answer for this generation. You are being empowered to go to this generation. This is an expression about you becoming living expressions of Jesus' love and grace and hope. This is about you being sent. Jesus says, hey, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We are sent, he empowers. We follow, he enables. We are salt and light, he is the source. Jesus starts off and he says, you are blessed because I'm right there with you. And you are salt and light because I'm right there empowering you. And so we are blessed to bless others. 8 days later in Mark chapter 16, Jesus comes with that second statement. First he says, I'm sending you. And then he says, and I'm sending you to all nations. I want you to preach to all creation. Like, are you serious? All is a big word. I studied all night for that test. Or this morning, he ate all of those hash browns. When my boys came from Japan to Tokyo, they fell in love with American football. And they started playing football and started hanging around with all those athletes. And it wasn't too long afterwards that my oldest son started liking hot sauce. You know, I want hot sauce on everything. And so he would ask for hot sauce all the time. And we go, are you going to use all that hot sauce on your food? That kind of all I can get my head around. But going to all the world and preach to all creation, how do we do that? Maybe that's the wrong question. Maybe the real question is, Jesus was serious when he said all. Are we? I'm sending you. I'm sending you to everywhere and everyone. And then in Matthew, about a week or so later, 2 weeks or so later, in Matthew 18 or Matthew 28, Jesus takes the guys away to a mountainside retreat, and he gives them a bigger, fuller picture of this whole thing. He says, all authority has been given to me, and so based on that authority, I'm sending you to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. I'm sending you to all nations to make disciples. Governments may determine that we have no right to engage their people with the gospel, but Jesus says we have authority to engage everyone on this world with the gospel. We have authority. All authority provides the context for everything that we do. Digging a well, building a school, offering hope to the marginalized, it's all to be done with a desire to make disciples. All our giving and our going and our praying, all of our teaching and building and baptizing is to be focused on making disciples and gathering them together in communities of faith. About 2 weeks later, in Luke 24, Jesus gives them that content of that message of how they're going to make disciples. He says, and you will preach about repentance and forgiveness of sins. Their culture and their community is carrying them this way, and they don't have any choices, it feels like. But you're to come alongside of them and preach them, share with them, express to them repentance, turning, and walking in a different direction. Forgiveness of sins, walking in this new way. Not only do we need to be present in these places, in the press and the crush of that train, not only do we need to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the only one true source of hope and a future, but we need to persuade them to turn and go against the flow. Repentance and forgiveness of sins is our message. Freedom is what we proclaim. Presence is not enough. We must proclaim and persuade. And then finally, just a few hours after that, Jesus puts in his final installment and he says, you will receive power in Acts 1:8, and you will be my witnesses. There's nothing like learning a language to humble you and to get you to remember how desperately you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Good friends of ours in Japan, they arrived there about 6 months ahead of us. And so they were 6 months further along in language. And when you study Japanese, at least at the school that we were at, your first 6 months are all keigo. It's all honorific language. Very, very polite nouns, verbs, adjectives, very polite greetings. You just figure out how to express yourself politely. And then they start getting into the more common language. So my friend had been studying language. He's trying to encourage us, so he shared this little thing with us. And he said, you know, I've been studying language for 6 months, and I was coming home from school today, and coming home from taking my beating. And I'm walking home, and I see this lady walking her dog, and she stops by the side of the road. The roads are very narrow, so you're within earshot. He says, I stopped and I watched her, and she was giving the dog instructions, you know, sit, shake a paw, bark, lie down, roll over. The dog was hearing her speak, and the dog was responding to that, was, you know, obeying all his commands. And so Dave's standing there, and he goes, you know, God, what's going on here? I'm an educated adult. I've been studying this language for 6 months. I'm here to preach the gospel, and that dog knows more Japanese than I do, you know, because he didn't understand anything she was saying. The power of the Spirit works in places that you can't reach, communicates in ways that you can't communicate, puts a why in the road of people in ways that you can't even imagine, and brings them to a decision. Jesus begins and he says, listen, I'm sending you, just like God sent me, I'm sending you, and I want you to go to all nations, all peoples, and I want you to make disciples of those people, get them to turn, persuade them to turn and go against the flow. And that's all about repentance and forgiveness of sins and living a new life in me. And don't worry, all of this is based on my authority. And all of this is couched in my presence. I'm going to be with you to the very end. And I will give you power, whatever you need in that moment, for persuasion. Jesus gives us this great big promise and commission. Well, how are we doing? Jason Mandrick of Operation World reports the following here. He says, if you take a look at the world, and you kind of divide it into major categories, you have about 33% of people who are Christian. Now, that includes Easter and Christmas Christians, and he would say that probably about only 10% of those are fully devoted followers of Jesus. But you have that major segment of the world. And then you've got about 40% of the people who have access to the gospel, may have even been presented with the gospel, and they are either ignoring it or they are rejecting it. Another 40% of our world. But then you have 27% of the world that is without access. These people have no compelling invitation to follow Jesus in their village, among their peoples in their culture. That's like 1.8 billion people that don't have or have little or no access to the gospel. Now, let's go back to the train, okay? We got three cars here now. This first car over here is those people who are in this Christian segment who need a lot of discipleship, need a lot of encouragement, need challenge, need prophetic voice in there. The second car is about people who have rejected or ignored the gospel message. And this third car is about people who have little or no opportunity to hear about Jesus. All of these are overseas. And let's take 100 missionaries. And how do you think they're divided up? Jason Mandrick would say that we've got 80 missionaries, 80 of the 100, 80%, 80 missionaries are working, are flowing around in this train car over here. 17, sometimes 18, we got one schizophrenic missionary who's jumping back and forth over there. But we got, you know, 17 missionaries who are here, who are working among those who have rejected or have ignored it or have, you know, just been holding it back, and they're trying to get in there and persuade people to turn and go against the flow. And then we have two or three missionaries over here that are working among those people who have little or no opportunity. And so my simple question for you this morning is, knowing what Jesus said about being sent into all the world with the message of, or with the purpose of making disciples, preaching forgiveness and repentance of sins, and doing that, knowing that God's going to empower that, that it's not all about us, that as broken and as lame and as lacking as we are, God can use us and he can empower us and he can grow us. Knowing that, and knowing that 1.8 billion people are in this car over here, which car should you go to? Where should you take your skill and your training and your education? Where should you be going? On Monday, I was at Cornerstone University. And I was hanging out in the cafeteria, and I'm sitting at a table having lunch, and the student, there's a bunch of us around there, and the student walks up and he introduces himself, and he says, "Hey, yeah, you know, I've got a Bible major and a sports ministry minor, and I'm just psyched about doing sports ministry." And I looked up at him and I said, "Oh, and what country are you going to do that in?" He laughs and he says, "What?" I said, "What country are you going to do that in?" It was like us speaking Swahili. You know, he said, "Well, here in America." And I said, "Okay, I'm a 14-year-old kid, and I want to go to summer camp this year. I got 10 choices in my state, even in my area. Which camp am I going to go to?" Or, "I'm a 14-year-old in Kazakhstan, and I want to go to summer camp this year, and there's not one camp here." Where do you need to bring that skill and that expertise and that passion for kids and for sports? I'm asking you, in light of what Jesus said, and in the light of the fact that over 1 billion people do not have a compelling witness in their village, in their town, what train do you need to get on? What car do you need to get into? Where do you need to preach or to teach or to do sports ministry or to bring healing or to dig a well or to bring microfinancing? Where? Where do you need to be? At SEND, our mission is to mobilize God's people wherever we find them, and to engage the unreached in order to establish reproducing churches. And our logo is very specific about that. You see on your left side, there's three arcs coming into a point. because we are passionate about sending people from North America and from Guatemala and Honduras and from the Philippines or from Germany and Switzerland and Austria or from Hong Kong. We're passionate about sending multiple teams into a location and bringing the gospel of Jesus to that location. And then we pray and we work towards that that very place would then take missions 360 degrees and be sending people out to other places, like they're doing from Ukraine to Kazakhstan, like they're doing from the Philippines to China and Philippines to Indonesia, like they're doing from Taiwan to Japan or Hong Kong to Japan. We want to take missions 360, and we want to see God raise up and empower others like us to go to their neighbors near and far. Do you want to know more about the unreached or more about getting onto that train? Check us out on the web. And Don, a friend of mine, and I are going to be in the Reichardt Lounge after chapel here, and we will be hanging out. And if anybody wants to talk about these kind of things or investigate where God might be sending you, SEND is one agency among many, and be happy to talk to you about any part of the world and maybe hook you up with others who are going to that specific region. But again, I get back to that question. Which train car are you headed for? Where, what people group, what country are you going to apply what God is blessing you with in this great place? A Bible-centered, worship-focused, life-developing, God-honoring place like CIU. Where are you headed? Where should you be headed? Let's pray. Father, we praise your name. We sing to you. We pray to you. We talk about you. We just lift you up because you alone are worthy of our praise. You alone are worthy of our lives and our all of our energy and our resources. And Jesus, you have very clearly spoken to us about how you want us to follow. And I pray, Father, this morning that your Spirit would be mighty in this place and that you would be just continuing to shape our hearts into the likeness of Jesus and perhaps directing some of us here to join what you are doing in one of these other train cars, in another part of the world, among another group of people. Lord, that a few of them, Lord, might have the courage to turn and to go against the flow in their culture, to be salt and light where they are and beyond. And Lord, that we might see missions go 360 and extend beyond them to their neighbors, near and far. And then, Lord, we pray that in all of these things, you might get the glory, that you may be lifted up and draw many, many to yourself. We pray these things now by the authority and by the presence and encouragement and the power that is in the name of Jesus. And for his glory, we say, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.